Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We start with the baseball again, BT. And for me, you know, thinking a lot about this and listening to the morning show, driving in, and, you know, we went over all the cuts yesterday from Hal and all that stuff. Do you think Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees, and you want to keep it specific to Hal, that's fine because he is the Yankees, he owns the Yankees. Do you think he prioritizes winning overall? Based on everything you heard yesterday, the way that he's operated, do you think Hal prioritizes winning overall?
Not as much as he should.
And that, to me, is the problem. So we could talk about spending, how much, but when he keeps talking from a, and by the way, it's his prerogative, but he keeps talking from a business perspective. The Yankees are a great business. His father had that, obviously bought them at the value that he did, built them up.
$10 million.
Okay, and what are they worth now?
$8 billion, okay. $8.1 billion.
So, yeah, there's a business sense to it. But George, and I hate to even go down the Hal versus George thing, but it's an excellent reference point, you kind of have to do it. Never once, ever, did I hear George Steinbrenner speak and think he doesn't prioritize winning. Never once did I think of the business aspects of baseball when I hear George speak. It was always from a fan's perspective. You know, fans don't want to hear about the business of baseball. We're fans. We want to see the team win. And when the Yankees, we have the highest of expectations to spend that much. So I think that's the problem with Hal, is he's too business focused, as opposed to just saying, damn it all, I'm going all in. I want to win. I want to prioritize winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the deal for me with Hal. You know, he does too much good, excuse me, to get crushed. Like, he does enough to get crushed.
Right.
You know, you can't crush. I think if you do, you're being unfair. But what is this now? The second or the third time we've heard about this $100 million check to the city every February 1st? We don't care. I don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. You know, whether it was COVID, whether it's non-COVID, you're worth $8.1 billion. So it's a very fine line. There's been owners here where they deserved vitriol. Hal doesn't deserve that.
No, not vitriol, but come on.
Well, I mean, no, I'm saying, like,
he keeps referencing the damn luxury tax. Dude, this is going back for years. You and I first started before we got together. Luxury tax. Hal, it's been a story. We don't want to hear about your business. We want to see results. We want to hear about you saying it's not good enough. Not just, well, the Dodgers, you know, they clicked on all cylinders and the Blue Jays were hot at the right time. No. We want to hear you frustrated and say, I cannot stand losing and I'm going to do whatever it takes to turn this team into a winner. Not looking at the book saying, how much money did we make this year?
I don't think we'll ever hear that. I love to hear it. We're not going to hear that. And we got a little bit of the randomness yesterday. Got a little bit of that. And if you were listening to the show, obviously Sal just said we play the cuts. And we did. And we reacted to real time to the cuts. You know, what bothers me about that is, all right, if they won the World Series a couple of years ago, and here we are, it's been 2-3 years since. Like, when they lost in 2003 to the Marlins, mm-hmm. right? If that was kind of the response, obviously Hal wasn't front and center at that point, but if he was, and that was the response, not that you really want to hear it, but at least it's a little more applicable because the Yankees won in 96, 98, 99, 2000, lost in 01, lost in 03. Now you want to go down the randomness road for a minute. All right, I'll leave you to hear it a little bit. Don't want to hear it now when the last time you won since was 2009. Listen, I've been thinking about this a lot, and we think about the payroll. And one thing that Hal said, and he's not wrong, and I think he said this 2 years ago, maybe three, and it's been circled back to and reiterated several times since. Hey, we shouldn't need a $300 million payroll to win. He's right, okay? And I was thinking about this. If I was given the chance, would I prefer a team that had elite scouting, which I don't think the Yankees do, elite player development, which I don't think the Yankees do, but they also do always have a top three payroll, so they've got an elite payroll, or a team that is more in that, I'm just throwing out numbers, you know, 7 to 12, 8 to 13 payroll range, what the Yankees never will be, understood. But that was counterbalanced by elite scouting and elite player development. Well, then I think that when Hal says you wouldn't need $300 million to build the championship team, I think that there would be an element of truth to that. The problem is the Yankees go deep, but they don't go all in. And the things that we've spoken about for years, when their prospects get here, they're not good defenders, they're not great on the bases, they're not what we thought they would be as hitters. I'm talking about the hitters, not the pitchers. Pitchers have generally been really, really good. And now you look at, well, okay, and you're not going to go that extra $60, $70 million to get the Japanese star, or maybe a Kyle Tucker, or maybe a Tucker and a Bellinger, or a Tucker and a Bregman to get rid of McMahon, whatever it might be. Well, now you have a team that's going to win a lot of games and not win any championships. That's where we're at.
Well, do you need to spend $300 million to have a good team?
No, not if you've got the scouting and the player development, but which they don't.
But they also develop, they spend a lot of money in the scouting and player development, maybe more so than anybody else. And if I were to ask you, do you think the Yankees' biggest problem is not spending?
No, absolutely not. I think they spend it wrong too much. That's the problem.
So that's a different story. But if that's going to be your argument from Hal, well, we don't need to spend $300 million to build a winner, then why are you continuing to employ the people who continually fall short? And if you just say, well, we won 94 games and it's a crapshoot, I think he's buying the crapshoot nonsense. The other counter to that, because there is a lot of fans just saying, well, we want more, and there's a reason to it. It's not the Dodgers. There's not a fluke that the Dodgers happen to win back-to-back World Series and they spend the most. What harm? So while we could all agree that you shouldn't need to spend $300 million or more to have a successful team, I mean, that has been proven. It's not opinion. Yep. It's fact. It's been proven.
That's true.
But let me ask you this. What harm does spending more do? For somebody who can afford to do it, what harm can it do? There's no way anybody can tell me, you shouldn't go out there and spend more money. That's going to hurt you. Oh, no. Buyer beware. That's going to hurt you spending more money. It can't hurt you. The Yankees used to spend a lot more than everybody else, and they also didn't spend it wisely every single dollar, but they moved on from their mistakes, and now we live in a spot where the Yankees are shoving the mistakes down your throat, whether it's Gallo or Hicks or LeMayu. Pick a guy. They continue to ride these guys out. Even John Carlos Stanton, not as a mistake on those levels, but the Yankees' biggest issue is the ball club is not constructed properly. That's not a financial thing. Although the finances could help get rid of some of those issues. The way the Mets have done that over the years. Now, again, they haven't built a successful team to the level that the Yankees have, but at least they're trying by paying some guys to go away, eating some salary, dating
back to the early days. Sure.
Okay, whatever. And obviously they spend a lot of money, and I expect them to spend more money. It doesn't equate to wins, only won 83 games, but it doesn't mean that spending money is going to hurt you. And also, if your argument, that to me, this is the main point. Hal has two choices. Either spend more to compensate for the inability to get over the hump, or get people in here who are going to spend what you allow them to spend better.
That's kind of where I was going, and that's not going to happen. So, you know, we can scream all day. I mean, we've had a million conversations, some very loud ones, about Brian Cashman, and here we are, still no championship, and, you know, Brian Cashman is back here. You know, it's interesting, too, because I was looking at the top 10 payrolls. I'm going to run through all of it here. I'm not even going to give you numbers, just the plays, right? So the Mets had the highest payroll, no playoffs. Dodgers had the second highest. They won the World Series. And then you get a little bit of a mixed bag with the Phillies and the Yankees and the Cubs with early playoff exits. The Rangers had the sixth, obviously shedding money with the Simeon deal, trying to do that maybe with other players. We'll see if they deal Seager. Sixth highest, no playoffs. Braves, a lot of injuries. Eighth highest, no playoffs. So you do get a little bit of a mixed bag. But that's the thing, like, if I put myself in Hal's shoes, I could sit here and say I would spend $440 million if I was the owner of the Yankees. And honestly, me being me, I might. I mean, I really might. But I don't have access to the finances. I believe there's an element of truth to what he's saying. I do think that people think maybe the Yankees make more, but then they do. But nobody wants to hear that. If I was Hal, here's what I definitely would do. I would sit down with Cashman and say, Brian, I am cutting checks year after year after year after year. We don't have $190 million payroll. We're not down with the Twins or the Pirates or even the Astros at this point. where the hell is my money going? Like, that's the money question. And because he never probes that deeply, or I'm sure he asks, but never penalizes or punishes Cashman for not spending the money properly, here we are, merry-go-round. It's the same stuff.
Right, so it's twofold. And they are also the New York Yankees. So I don't want to hear the Dodgers. There's no excuse for me to any other team taking the number one brand in Major League Baseball away from the New York Yankees. And the Dodgers have done that. And Hal is, to me, too complacent with either of the two. The money, which he's not wrong. You shouldn't have to spend more than $300 million to build a winning team. Or allowing the team who continually wins 90 games, we get it, but thinking that that's good enough and not seeing a little bit deeper through the weeds of the, well, we win 90 every year, we get in the postseason.
Yeah.
You have to dig a little bit deeper and say, why aren't we doing what the Dodgers are able to do and have been able to do when we were the Yankees and did that in the 90s?
You allowed them to come in on the stage and swoop the trophy. And, you know, again, you're getting a second or a third or a fourth place ribbon, but your brand has been diminished because you've allowed the Dodgers to do that to you, and other teams to try to do it to you as well. Like, listen, the one thing, this came up a little bit yesterday, like the Yankees, you talk about the payroll, what their valuation is, which is $8 billion, a little bit more. You know, their revenue generation a year ago was $700 million, which was number one in baseball. And obviously, we know what the payroll was, which was the which was obviously very high. Okay, top three, top four in baseball last year. But nobody really knows how much they spend on the minors. And you brought this up, and you're right. I don't have any doubt when it comes to biomechanics and facilities and all the reading this and the digital stuff and the machines that replicate the exact degree that the ball comes out of pitcher X's name for arm for the Red Sox, which they actually have. Not every team has that. I know that they put all the money in there. So that's not even the issue. I'm going to go back to the core issue with the New York Yankees. It's not Hal. It's not what they spend. It's not their commitment to the minors or player development. It's that they got too many people employed who have been here for so long. It's gotten stale. The game has changed, and he refuses to address that. That's the main problem with the Yankees.
And the results, while they are better than your average team, are not good enough for the Yankees. And I talk about, well, they had the dynasty in the 90s, but it wasn't just that. They were getting to the World Series often in the 2000s as well. So even losing in 2001 and 2003 and obviously winning in 2009, think about how many World Series appearances the Yankees had in the 90s, from 96 on, and then again in the 2000s, as we just referenced, and then from 2009 on, they made it once. And
I know. After they won it, they made it less. That's it.
That's it.
That's crazy.
One time in two decades.
Hey.
That's not good enough for the Yankees, and Hal continues to just accept that it is. So I'm not saying that he needs to spend $100 million more than everybody else.
Me neither.
I'm not saying that he's got to fire Brian Cashman and everybody. I'm saying he's got to do one or the other. You can't sit back and say, we're going to keep doing the same thing and cross your fingers and hope that the results are going to change. Even if you get to the World Series like they did, you know, two seasons ago, even if you get to the World Series, that proved to be a one-off. You want the constant success atop the sport. And the Yankees just, I'm sorry, they're not there when you look at the inability to consistently get to the World Series the way that the Astros have, the way that the Dodgers have. At least two other teams have done it way more often than the Yankees have been able to do.
You know, real quick, Sal, before we get these calls here, the George dynamic is always going to kind of creep in. I know you just mentioned his name before. We try not to go too, first of all, it's so long ago. It's a different sport, and he's not George. We know that. But one of the things about George that drove me nuts when the Yankees were a train wreck, and they were a train wreck for, you know, a lot of years in my childhood, was his petulance, was his, you know, reactive nature, and just he was a loose cannon. I think one of the attributes, now I'm going to compliment Hal, is that he's the opposite of that. And I think when you have owners who are too quick to fire and it's just a recycle, new GM, new coach, new manager, new voice, new philosophy, the building becomes incredibly unstable. So I value the stability that Hal has brought to the Yankees, because while it's been as long of a run without a world championship now as it was during my childhood, which is impossible to fathom, the low points of these Yankees aren't nearly as low as they were with Stump Merrill and Bucky Dent and Dallas Green and all the names that we know if you're old enough to have lived through that. And I appreciate that. This is not to be not thankful at all. But you're right. There's two roads here now. You either have to change the people you employ. He's not doing that this year. Well, you got to go deeper and you got to spend more money.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Frank is in Monroe starting us off. What's up, Frank?
Good morning. This is the first time I'm calling since 1992.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice. Mike and Mando.
I just don't have the patience. But you hit the nail on the head. Al Steinbrenner doesn't run the team. Randy Levine has the checkbook. If they have to spend, from just using a number, $5, and they need another penny, Randy Levine isn't going to give it to them.
Well, that's not,
he's
that's
been
not...
Steinbrenner's guy for 25 years, George. He runs it like a business. And that's who calls the shots.
So you think
that's
it's...
the bottom line.
Yep.
Right. That's fine, Frank, and we do appreciate you taking the call. Man, since 1992, that's a long time in between calls. I was going to say, kind of getting on that length with the Yankees between championships here. Not as bad for the Yankees as it is for Frank between calls here at the Fan, but we get the point. Yeah, okay, well, Levine's the business guy. Fine. I'm not saying that you got to ignore all business aspects of it. What we know, let's just deal in facts here. Does anybody think the way the Yankees have operated for the last two decades, for the most part, has been good enough? To me, it's not, because they're held to a higher standard. So while Mets fans would take the Yankees' success, while many fans would take the Yankees' level of success, meaning be in the playoffs more often than not, win 90-plus games every regular season, have some stars on your team, all that, it's not good enough for the Yankees. And it would be one thing if the Yankees still were the dominant team but just continued to fall short in the playoffs. That's not what's happening here. They've gotten passed by, whether it's the Mets or the Dodgers, as far as the spending goes.
Toronto.
And they've gotten caught by other teams who don't even spend as much to be more consistent, better teams who go further. So there's many layers to the Yankees. I don't want to say failures. I think that's too strong. To the Yankees' shortcomings and losing what once was the predominant team in Major League Baseball.
Well, think about it this way, too. So, you know, you say it, and I say it. The problem is they no longer say it, and if they do say it, they don't act on it. If they're not holding themselves to a higher standard, why should we? Honestly, though, that's a question for everybody. Like, we sit here and we say, and I know what you mean, and I said it, too, Yankees should be held to a higher standard than the Yankees. Well, why are we carrying the mail for the Yankees?
Well, we're not really, because did you think the Yankees were going to win the World Series going into the year last
year? No.
Okay, me neither. So, I mean, we just...
But we throw that line out there very freely, like, well, we should... the Yankees should be held to a higher standard. Yeah, that sounds good, but it's not really applied anymore in 2025. See, that standard's got to be created from within and adhered to from within. Now, going back to the back of the day, it was created from within, and it was adhered to from within, and then it was loosely, you know, pursued from within, which I think it still is now, because they obviously try. They just don't go as far as we think we need to, as we think that they should. So, held to a higher standard. My standard is this: make the playoffs, get bounced. That's the standard.
Right, but that's just not good enough.
I agree.
Do you think, and especially now with Steve Cohen across town, do you think that if the Mets fail to make the postseason this year, David Stearns will still be employed by the Mets next year? I don't.
I would think no. After last year, if it was 2 years in a row, I would think no.
Well,
but
think
we haven't seen have to react to that, but I would probably say no.
You know for sure the manager's going to be gone. Like, they've already laid the groundwork. Carlos Mendoza's been here for 2 years. One was incredible, getting to the NLCS in year one.
Yep.
The second was not very good, winning 83 games and not missing the playoffs.
Fired his whole staff. You're on alert.
Dude, if they don't win... Now some could say, okay, well, because George had the standards to almost an impossible level, where guys who had won three championships in a row were on the hot seat and didn't deliver again.
Ask a limited Dick Houser how that was back in the day.
So maybe there's somewhere in between. Maybe that's where Steve Cohen lies. Who knows? We'll find out. Time will tell. He's only been here, you know, as the owner 5-6 years, whatever it's been, for Steve Cohen. But I feel the accountability level within the Mets organization changed since Steve Cohen has taken over. And if they don't win, and he expects to win at the highest of levels when you're spending as much as he does, if they don't win, there are going to be changes made. And the Yankees, while they do have success more often than not as far as the regular season goes, to me it hasn't been enough to justify keeping Brian Cashman and everybody else in place dating back to 2021. You're talking about 4 or 5 years later now, and it's the same thing.
I mean, it's almost becoming like talking about the job, like Champ Bowen. I mean, I look at it, you know, and we can do this coming up. I'm going to say this year. So there's the owner, there's the GM, there's the manager, and then there's the actual players. I'm going to assign a little level of culpability to really pinpoint exactly what I mean about this issue with the Yankees.
BT and Sal on the Fan, Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Obviously, you can count on them. We have plenty of football to get to throughout the course of the show. Just getting started here on this Tuesday morning, 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Hoff are both out tomorrow. Somehow, well, BT, you got to go to Dallas. You're flying to Dallas tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it should be fun on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Dude.
Lucky me.
You know, I've never had to do that before, thankfully. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be here solo tomorrow was my point. But I love being on that day because I feel like most people are going to be driving and traveling everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
But because of the short week anyway, we're going to do a lot of the stuff that we would normally do later in the week today. So you're leaving tomorrow. Hoff, what's your excuse? Why are you out tomorrow?
Well, I screwed up last week with my kids' half day, so I made sure that someone's going to take care of them on Wednesday.
You did not come to us and get that approved, by the way. I don't know what the structure is.
You're not taking
here.
Batting practice tomorrow? No indoor work
There's
off
no
the
batting
tee?
Practice, no.
So now who am I working with? Dover, you here tomorrow?
I will be here.
Okay, is it just you and I, or do we have anybody else?
Rosie.
So it's just you and I, basically, tomorrow.
That's the biggest surprise. He's never here, and the day that we're not here,
hold on a second. On the holidays,
here.
I'm always here. I'm working Thanksgiving.
You miss 100 days a year, man.
I feel like I've done Thanksgiving.
Holidays, understand.
I feel like I've worked Thanksgiving with Dove, like, dating back 20 years ago. We would work Thanksgiving. You were always on the board.
One of us is a turkey.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Anyway, so we got plenty of football stuff coming up.
We do. By the way, how about those Niners last night? We got a little update on that perfect parlay. Is on the board.
Notice BT wants to do the perfect parlay revisit today. No, you did cash a three-teamer. We'll do that later on and give you the point standing. And we'll have the three-team Turkey Day teaser, which is obviously a special with the perfect parlay pick segment ahead of Thanksgiving. So we'll do that later on. Baldy, as we mentioned before, he'll join us at 12:40, so plenty to do. But we wanted to start with the baseball stuff. And just the idea, and because I was thinking about a couple of things off of yesterday with Hal and then listening to Boomer and Gio this morning. Yeah, you don't need to spend $1 billion to have a winner. But if you keep spending $300 million, let's say, and it's not working to the level that you would expect, then you got to change the people who are spending that money. You can't have
both. What are you laughing at? What's so funny?
It's the idea that Hal thinks that it's okay to, we should be able to build a ball club without spending $300 million. You're right. You should be. You're not. Then you got to hire the people that could do it, and you're not doing that either.
Yeah.
So what I say is, you should be competing to win the World Series regularly, and you're not. I don't care about your fluff 90 plus wins in the regular season. To me, even when the Yankees do, you know, get to the ALCS like years ago against the Astros, we talked about in 2023, it just wasn't good enough. You knew that that team was not a legitimate World Series team.
That was a JV team playing against those Astros. My goodness, yeah. So listen, one of the things I said to start the show, if you guys missed it, Free Odyssey app, we'll get back to the calls, obviously. You know, give me a team with a good payroll and elite scouting and elite player development. And to me, that's a better path than an elite payroll, which the Yankees are not number one anymore, but they're always elite. And their scouting and the player development is an issue. So real quick, to pay off what I teased before we went to break, just to assign some levels of culpability here, I broke it down into, and I'll do this quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I broke this down into 6 quick categories. You got the owner, the GM, the manager, the scouting, the player development, and the talent, all right? So to me, I pretty much give Hal the pass, because whether it's him and Levine, and there's always an element of you know, conferring, et cetera, but it's his team. Hal's cutting checks. I can't crush him. The general manager has not done a good job. To me, like, he has not adapted to the modern game, and there's been too many loose moves with that money. So to me, culpability much more toward him than the owner at this point.
Agreed.
I think Boone is good. I don't think he's Miller Huggins. Actually, I think Aaron Boone's really good, especially for New York, with all the potential dust-ups and the media. He's incredibly good with the media. He's emotionally consistent. He's fiery for his team. And now, we wish maybe he called him out a little bit more, but, you know, blasting him, he shows a little juice and some fire. I have no problem. I've got more of a problem, much more, with Cashman than with Boone. You guys know that. You with me on that?
Yes, but I also wouldn't be giving Boone an A.
I didn't say I'd give him an A.
Yeah.
I'd give him a B+.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been good. I don't think he's been the problem. I've said that consistently for a while. Now, I also would have made a change of both of them, just because that's how I would operate back in 2021. The first sign of the Yankees going the wrong way, I would have cleaned house then. But I don't think, to me, it's more about the structure, the construction of the ball club, not about the manager.
Okay, so now you get to the scouting. And, you know, listen, it's a very deep rabbit hole. So how they actually, and it's very subjective, obviously, but some teams scout really well and some don't. I don't think the Yankees scout well enough. I think they've been a zero on the international scene for a decade. How much money, 16-year-old player, you know, in the DR, you know, 17-year-old kid here, Puerto Rico, like, well, where the hell are they in terms of being on the actual field? And that's why the Yankees did fire, and the gentleman was tenured for about 20 years, who led up their international signings. He just got fired a month ago. So I think the scouting has been bad. I think the player development has been problematic. I don't see enough refined players. Not talking about pitchers, position players, defense, running the bags, not striking out that much. I think that's a problem. And in terms of the talent, I do think, because they spend a lot of money, the Yankees generally have enough talent. Now, it's not a well constructed roster, but you've got, you know, arguably the best player that we've ever seen in Judge, and a really good staff. So I can't crush him. So to me, the most culpable would be Cashman, because he also oversees the scouting, player development, etc.
I mean, think about it though. This is a bigger picture thing, where we just look at the recent history of the Yankees, and it's like, oh, well, they won 94 games, okay, but they fell short. This has been going on for a while here with their results. To me, since Boone got here, I mean, they went to the ALCS Game 7 in a year where they weren't supposed to in 2017. Prior to that year with Girardi, there was an absence of the postseason for a long time.
Yeah, couple of 80-something wins.
Okay,
that was
bottoming out to the point where, okay, they needed to change things up. So they do that at the 2016 trade deadline. Then somehow they get to, well, Judge somehow, but in 2017, with no expectations, the baby Bombers got themselves to Game 7 of the ALCS. Since then, it's just been kind of mediocre. And even in the year, I said 2023 before, 2022 that was the ALCS year where they started out like the 98 Yankees, but they never were really legit.
Another swoon during the summer, like this year.
They missed the postseason after that. 2024, they get Soto. They go to the World Series with an all-time combination of Soto and Judge. And then last year, just not good enough again. So they haven't built the ball club, to me, well enough in a long time. You're talking about years. Yep. This is not by accident. It's not some fluke that, hey, the Yankees just continue to get unlucky in the postseason the way that they would make you believe.
I think that's important to lay out, and we have. And one of the differences here, now this is where I'm going to, at least, to be fair, you know, I don't know if it's a compliment or just acknowledge here, at least the acknowledgement. So the years that you're talking about, You know, we talk about with Tanaka was the ace, and obviously Girardi, you know, 84, 87, 84, 85 wins. And just watching those teams, a couple of years, no playoffs, like you just knew they didn't have a whole lot. Like, you know, Jeter was getting older. Jeter was basically done. And then you're moving on and some other, you know, iterations that we'll really never remember fondly. But at least as they bottomed out there, contrast that to the 1992 seasons, and that's where it was actually upticking, 76 wins. And the year before that, 71. Yeah.
Well, their bottom is far better than anybody else. And, I mean, their bottom out is a Mets good year, 84, 85 wins.
I guess. And then even with Stump Merrill, you know, the 67 wins, the 74 wins, like, it was gross. So they're nowhere near that, just to acknowledge that. But they're also nowhere near where they were when they were dominating and they were winning championships. And the Yankees are supposed to be about championships.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Mike is calling from Manalapan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, BT and Sal, how's everything going today?
Good. What's up?
What up, Mike?
Dude, I really don't want to hear about Hal complaining about money. You're talking about a guy who's got generational wealth that his father built for him back in the 70s. I mean, really? I mean, come on. Why don't they lower the prices at the stadium? They won't do that, but they'll just keep jacking him up for the regular guy. I mean, seriously, he's talking about losing money. He goes, first of all, guys that are that rich don't lose money in business. They're not in business to lose money, period, end of story. All those outfield signs, it looks like a minor league stadium, and who knows how many envelopes of money he's getting on the side to have them put in the outfield, all that cash that nobody's even talking about.
Nah, I don't think he's doing that. Come on.
You know what I mean?
Let's do this. You want to talk about that minor league system, right? Up until a couple of years ago, there was one major leaguer coaching the whole team. All their minor league system was Shelly Duncan.
Shelly Duncan.
The rest of the guys were all... Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
So there you go there, the scouting. You ever seen the Yankees make so many base-running mistakes? Lackadaisical base-run? BT, you're from Brooklyn. You imagine your coaches back in the day when you played for Ty Cobb and Gil Hodges, you making mistakes like that?
I don't think you have to be from Brooklyn just to run the base as well. They would have lit me up. By the way, I was a cadet.
It was a little different back then in the day.
Of course, you know what I'm saying?
And then these ribbons. Then you talk about ribbons for second and third. Listen, no matter what place you come in, you're always the first loser here. Enough with these ribbons.
The Yankees did get a ribbon this year, Mike. I'm not sure if you saw that, but it was we tied the Blue Jays.
Yeah, we don't take ribbons.
We tied the Blue Jays with 94 wins.
Big deal. That doesn't mean nothing to me. You didn't make it to the World Series. It's World Series or bust. That's it. Period. End of story.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike,
make a splash?
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, thanks for the call. Listen, good stuff. Passion, love it. Yeah. He's taking money. Now Hal's involved with the mafia. Yeah, taking money under the table. God, let that go nuts. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Hal is quite buttoned up when it comes to his business and doing things the right way. All right. So the thought that they should be held to a higher standard is something that we all subscribe to, and I think we all wish that they would subscribe to more aggressively. That's been said, and that's been played out over years without a championship. But I also don't want to make it seem like there's no middle ground. Like, if the Yankees won a World Series, I'm just throwing this out, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, even seven or four, and they had a couple of, you know, you're just running to a better team, you have an injury.
Right.
Like, it's not like this, we have to win every year.
This is different.
It's different. It's about seeing this team and realizing that they're making the same mistakes over and over. And that's the most frustrating part.
It is. And back to the business aspect of it, from Hal's standpoint, do you think that this is a passion play or does he look at the Yankees as a business? Steve Cohen, for example, I don't think he bought the Mets because he was like, you know what, this is going to be a good investment.
He's sticking up those casinos, so it's not a dumb investment.
Well, no, he's not stupid, obviously. But
you get the Mets, you get a little in. He's a Mets guy.
Forget about even the Mets thing. Any team. I don't think Steve Cohen or a lot of owners, now, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are many owners who don't buy teams with the idea of making money and look at it as a business. They look at it as, hey, you got billions of dollars like Steve Cohen. This is a chance to become more of a public figure, to compete in a different manner, the competitive nature of it, a passion play, your family, you know, his father-in-law, all that stuff. They love sports and love baseball and love the Mets. When you're that rich, you can buy something as a passion project. And then your main priority in life is, hey, how are we going to build this thing up into the best, not only business possible, but the best organization possible?
Yep.
Hal was given this.
He inherited it. He didn't buy it. He inherited it.
Correct.
Big difference.
And I think he's more of a business guy.
Yes.
Versus the passion.
He is.
Of making, but that, understood, and it's not a knock, but it, to me, it's part of the problem.
Give me a little more balance, you mean?
Well,
I'll take a little more balance.
I know he cares if they win or lose. I don't think he cares more about winning and losing than he does from the business standpoint. And they look at it business-wise. We're the Yankees. We're a brand. We win 90-something games every year. We're in the playoffs more often than not.
Yeah.
But that to me is the fire inside that comes from somebody like George who built it on his own, or Steve Cohen who became a billionaire doing the art stuff, whatever, the hedge fund thing, all the art stuff that he has. Like, it, to me, it's just different when you're in it for a passion play, trying to win and being a competitor versus looking at it as, oh, let me buy this team because of the business behind it.
Look at Al Davis, okay, and look at George Steinbrenner, and look at Mark Davis, and look at Hal. Now, I would never disrespect.
Hal's got a better haircut than Mark. But yeah.
He's got everything better. I mean, I think Mark Davis is an absolute clown, although he did have like 10 models hanging in the suite with him last time there. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It was actually a very funny visual. I mean, if that guy was poor, he had nothing around him. But anyway, to me, Mark Davis is—he's just not a very smart person. I don't think and he really had some issues. Which for him, I'm happy he's cleaned up. He was just along for the ride, partying. His dad just pulled him along. I think Hal is a brilliant business person, incredibly polished. I think he's the complete opposite of Mark Davis. So I'm not trying to compare those two, but I am. When you go to the Al and the George dynamic, think about how they had to cut their teeth to gain power. It was like their sports didn't even have good TV deals. Steinbrenner bought the Yankees for $10 million. Now, it's a lot of money in 1972, but $10 million. All the refurbishments for the stadium, the new stadium, the YES Network. Think about all the things that George did and that Al did compared to what Mark and the inheritance that Mark and Hal have. You know, it's just very different. And when you grow up in the penthouse, it's different, is a loose comparison, than growing up in the streets. You don't have that grit.
100%.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So we said before the break, rank the owners. We're talking about Hal, obviously starting the show with Hal, and how I look at him more of a businessman than a passion play owner that prioritizes winning. And not just meaning like you got to go spend $500 million, but you got to hold somebody accountable at some point, one or the other. And I think if you look around at the owners in town, let's start with the football. Because I think it's easy to just look at Woody and be like, well, Woody doesn't know what he's doing. But I believe Woody Johnson is passionate about trying to win. Now, he just hasn't gone about it in the right way. But I don't think Woody is a guy who's looking at the Jets strictly as a business, at least me. Now, I'm just going over football first before actually like ranking them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would clearly say the same thing about the Maras, in where I don't look at them. I know that ultimately it's always a business, but I look at the Mariners, they're wearing these losses more so than almost anybody in town. And I think it's a passion play for them, even though Wellington handed it over to John or whatever. I still look at John as a guy who wears these losses. His life bleeds blue, big blue.
Yep.
It's not just, well, the business of it.
And he's very visible.
Yeah.
Whereas Hal generally is not, you see Hal once a year, maybe twice.
Where are you with Mara and Woody?
I think that's a pretty fair assessment of Mara. Now, not implying that the ownership has been good lately.
But that's different. I agree. Just passion versus business.
He loves the Giants. Anybody who debates that has not been living in New York or New Jersey for a long time. I mean, Mara loves the New York football
and
Giants.
And when they lose.
Loves them.
When they lose,
it kills him. I think he bleeds Giants blue. It hurts him.
I might put him at number one as the most passionate owner. I can feel when they lose, it destroys him.
And I'm with you on that.
I don't feel that with every other owner. I think other owners hurt. I think it destroys Mr. Mara the way that things have gone over the last decade.
So we'll see if he's going to be first. I'm not going to put him first yet, but obviously he is going to be in the mix for being first. Now, just to follow up on the Woody thing, a big difference between wanting to win and knowing how to win.
Right.
And when it comes to knowing how to win, Woody is a great F, failure. In terms of wanting to win, I actually think he's an A. You know, you look at, and by the way, look at the investment that Woody's made. You've been out to Florham Park, right?
I've heard about it. I got to go.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. I know you saw it on Hard Knocks, whatever. Yep. One Jet Drive, the other show that they put on YouTube. And then you and I know you and I have been there, so I know you've been there, to the Giants facility. The Jets facility dwarfs the Giants. It's not even close.
The Giants was okay.
Ugh, it feels like 1990-something. I think it's weak, myself. So Woody has really reinvested, I think, even a little more in the Jets, maybe than Giants ownership's invested in the Giants. Now, that's about the finances. I think Woody desperately wants to win. The Rodgers move, some other stuff. He doesn't know how. So I think that both of the New York football owners truly, truly want to win. The difference is one name has a lot more respect pertaining to football. That, of course, would be Mara.
Understood. Mara is my number one. Number two, I mean...
Are we counting hockey?
I have Dolan in there.
Yeah,
you can put Ledecky in there. I think Ledecky is, and that we get to know this firsthand. Yeah, we get to know that. Well, doesn't the owner of the Devils the same guy who owns the Commanders and the Sixers, right?
Yeah.
Can you just look up his name? I forget his name.
Either way, they're pretty good.
I'm pretty sure though. The owner of the Josh something maybe. I don't know. The owner of the Devils is the same as the Sixers and Josh Harris. It is Josh Harris, right? He owns the Harris brand or whatever they own these. They own the Sixers, Devils, and Commanders.
You know, let's stick to the five, just because I know him. I think he's a great guy. I know he wants to win, but I can't really give you...
I would bet... Yeah, but we've seen it firsthand. I mean, I've been at the Islander games. I think Ledecky wears it. I don't think he looks at the Islanders. Now, again, every owner is going to look at their team as a business in some way, shape, or form, but I've seen him wear the losses and be emotional about the wins. I don't look at him as just a bottom line business guy. He's trying to build that thing up, the area around UBS.
I can buy that.
He would be one of my more passionate owners on there.
When we sat with him, like he wasn't just like, oh, I'm making a ton of money. Like he was every shot, every deflection, he was into it.
No, he's in the fans, high-fiving fans. And all. I think Woody is similar in that aspect. Now, I don't know Woody the way that I got to know Ledecky a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But where would you put Dolan? Or how would you rank Dolan in that?
Boy, it's almost two different rankings. I think with the Rangers, he's pretty much laid out, and now he's laid out with the Knicks because the Knicks, have been at least, certainly on autopilot in terms of being very competitive the last couple of years, and he can finally lay out. But for a while, he treated the Knicks and the Rangers very differently. I think that Dolan, for a while, was desperately wanted to change the narrative around his name. Now, did he want to win? Of course, they don't want to win, so let's not be unfair to these men. Was he driven to win, or was he driven to remove the mud from his name? Which usurped the other? My opinion, it's just my opinion, I think that he was so in the mud for so many years, going back to the Isaiah stuff and other stuff, I think he was more driven to remove himself from that vitriol, and I think for a minute that actually overpowered his desire to win.
Yeah, I would go more business than passion with Dolan. I think he cares, but I would have him ranked toward the bottom of... I would put Ledecky ahead of him, and I would put Cohen ahead of him. I'm going to put Ledecky 2, being that you threw him in there. I'm going to put Cohen 3, And then, you know what? I got Woody up there as well. I'll probably, dude, I think Woody's on par. I think Woody, yeah, it is tough.
Very tough.
But also, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean just 1 through 5. Like, Mara, as passionate as they come. Ledecky, as passionate as they come. I believe Cohen is on that level. I also believe Woody is on that same level. I think Hal and Dolan are a notch below. However you want to rank them.
More business-oriented, whether it's third, fourth, Dolan, or fifth, just about a business.
I think Dolan and Hal lean more prioritizing business versus passion. Again, I'm not saying they don't care, because I think that they do.
I got you.
But the others, to me, clearly care more about the passion and the results than they do about the business.
Even if I wanted to push back on Hal, I'm not sure how I can, to be fair. Like, where's the evidence that it upsets him? And I know it does, to what extent. I guess that's really what we're discussing here. But, you know, I've never seen a shot of him in his suite, like his dad, standing there ominously, threateningly, or flipping out and being a little, you know, petulant and firing somebody, like a quick reaction. You know, it's the same GM. It's the same stuff. It's the same approach. It's the same fairly monotone delivery. So I'd like to push back a little bit, because the man does win and the man does spend. But I think if he's characterized more as a business person than like a true, devout, crazy fan, I'm not going to push back on that, because I don't think that that's true.
BT and Sal on the Fan, working some football to the conversation. 888-808-1019. Just getting started on this Tuesday morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.